Hey everyone, I just wanted to take a moment before I start today's episode that this episode is a complete failure from a technical standpoint. You'll hear in this episode that my voice is really loud for some reason and my guest voice is really low. So I'm still new at this, I'm still learning, and this episode obviously did not come out the way I intended. I feel terrible because there's a lot of good stuff in here. My guest has a lot of great stories that she shares. So if you want to stick it out and just mess with the volume controls as you're listening, it'd be worth a listen. But I'm still trying to figure out what happened here. So with that in mind, I hope you can possibly enjoy this episode. Hey there, Blue Jackets fans. Welcome to Boom and Gloom, where we talk about the boom, the good, and the gloom, the bad, of Columbus Blue Jackets hockey. I am Anthony, and you might know me as Whaler Jacket in all those social media circles, and I am Ohio's longest-suffering hockey fan. Now, every few episodes, I like to explain that comment for any new listeners out there, so real quick, I'll explain what I mean. Before I became a Blue Jackets fan, I grew up in Connecticut as a fan of the Hartford Whalers, and they were bad. They only won one playoff series in their history, and it came when I was 9 years old, so I was just becoming a hockey fan, and I hardly remember it. So I moved to Ohio permanently after attending Miami University, and the Whalers left in 97. I graduated in 98. And the Jackets arrived in 2000. So not only have I only seen one playoff series win for my favorite team in my entire adult life, but I've also had my team ripped away from me, moved to another state, and renamed. And something else I never mentioned before, as I said, I'm a proud graduate of Miami. Not only have they never won a national championship, but I forget what year it was, but they were up by 2 goals in the national championship game with 1 minute to go and lost. And I was also a fan of an AHL team called the New Haven Nighthawks. I never saw them win a championship. And not only were they moved to another city, but their arena was actually literally demolished. So yeah, I think I've suffered more than any hockey fan in Ohio with no end in sight. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the Columbus Blue Jackets and where do they stand in the final month of the season? And what do we want to see going forward? And what changes do we expect in the near future? So I wanted to record an episode last week, but I didn't have much of a voice. Ohio weather changes, allergies, and teaching fourth graders, that all contributed to me losing most of my voice. And I'm still coughing a little bit today, so I apologize ahead of time, but I'm back. And I am so happy to welcome a guest to the podcast today. Now, there are Blue Jackets fans, and there are Blue Jackets super fans. And I would have to say that my guest today is a Blue Jackets super fan. So please welcome to the show, Madigan O'Brien, on Twitter at O'Brien Madigan. Madigan, hi.
How's everyone?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I am so excited for you to join me today. Like, I've followed you on Twitter for so long, and it's just so nice to actually talk in person to someone I've followed for so long. So thank you again for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. We've been trying to make this work for a while.
Yeah, it just hasn't worked out, but that's okay. It worked out today. I get it. Life happens is one of my favorite things to say. Life happens.
It does.
And I have to tell you something. I've actually seen you once in person before. You attended the prospect camp in August or whenever it was.
Yes.
Yeah, and I remember seeing you there because most of my Twitter friends, I wouldn't recognize them. You know, most of them are like me. Like, I don't post many pics or videos of myself, but you do. So I saw you and I recognized you, but of course I didn't say hello. But that was an amazing experience. Did you find that as amazing as I did?
I did. I loved watching the prospects up close, especially, you know, someone that had a connection to Yarmo. He was sitting to, like, my left-hand side upstairs. Like, I could see him watching my body language for, like, if I liked the player or if I was like, I don't know about this guy.
Really?
Yeah, he was, like, watching over my shoulder and kind of watching, like, for my feedback.
Huh. Well, I have a similar tale. We were standing by the glass and we looked up behind us and there was Mike Babcock watching.
I actually met Babcock the day I was there at camp. We talked to him for like 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes and I was like, by the way, Babs, who sent you down here to see me? He goes, your old neighbor Yarmo did.
That's awesome. And before I go any further, I will tell all our listeners that Madigan has informed me that she has a lot of great Yarmo stories, and I've asked her to share one of those towards the end of our show today. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. So
shout out to Fintilly for hitting me at the puck at development camp.
Did he really?
Yeah, his first day. Poor kid.
Oh my gosh. So did you have See, I have to confess, I don't get out there very often. I don't get to Columbus very much. I live north of Dayton in Troy. So, you know, I don't have a lot of these connections that I hear a lot of other fans have. So did you get to meet some of those players like Fantilli?
I did. I met Fantilli, yes.
Oh, I'm very jealous.
Luckily, I had Laura and Jeremy to, like, my left-hand side, and they saw... Jeremy saw the puck coming, like, up and over the netting, and Madigan, duck! And luckily, like, a guy ducked down, and he hit me on the shoulder, and he saw it, and he came out right after their gate session or something. He was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's all good, Adam. I'm like, I get it. Things happen. Like, don't stress.
That is fantastic. He just strikes me as a really likable guy.
About it so hard right in front of him like a champ.
That's so cool. I love it when players are personable, you know, that you can talk to and they make that effort to connect with fans. So I see that from him.
He was walking towards the carpet and he apparently heard about my tweet because I tweeted like, guys, should we sing him happy birthday on the carpet? The day the home opener was his birthday.
Right.
Mike Todd called out my tweet right before he walked the carpet, so he came over and he's like, thank you for doing what you did for me. I was like, oh my god, of course. Happy birthday again, like, have the best night.
And that's it.
And he goes, like, you're the girl I hit at camp. I was like,
he remembered.
Wow, good memory. He's like, are you okay? Like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm good, I promise.
My God, see even that one story you just told, that's already more than any stories I have regarding Blue Jackets players. But, like, you know, like I said, I'm just far away. I can't, you know, be as immersive, I guess, with the Jackets. So that's awesome. Oh, so speaking of our beloved Jackets, I wanted to talk about the current state of the Jackets. Okay. It has, and to me, and I was wondering if you agree with me on this, I just get the feeling right now that they're just limping to the finish line, okay?
Yeah.
They have a bunch of AHL players or fringe NHL players making up, I don't know, like a third of their lineup right now, and I just see them... Right. It's like the injury bug just can't stay away from this team right now. So I'm hoping that when the team starts finding some sustained success, they'll also find some sustained health. Yeah, it has. It was, and you know, looking back, I mean, I guess I could say I had higher expectations.
I did too. I had them at top five in the division in the season.
Yeah, and I mean, it just didn't work out. Let's just say that. But no. I have this feeling though, and I know it seems like we're told this every year. Like the future is bright. The future is bright.
Bright, and I'm like, I'm so sick and tired of it.
Yes, I am too. But do you feel that this time there is actually some truth to it? Do you see some light at the end of the tunnel?
I mean, it depends on who they plan on bringing in as a new GM, because that does make me very nervous.
Yeah, I can see that and I can't even tell you some, like, potential candidates that, you know, that I think would be great for the Jackets. I can't comment too much about the GM search. I know I've heard a lot about Matthew Darche, but he's really the only person that I can, you know, comment on. So yeah, it all boils down to who comes in and what approach he or she takes to it. Wait, say that again.
What's it going to take for Pascal Vincent to finally have a consistent lineup in November? Because I was there for the shootout the other day against, who was in Nashville, and he puts out Johnny, who whiffs in the shootout. And I'm like, if I'm his coach, I'm looking at him and be like, look at who your scorers were today, and maybe try them again to see if they have the same luck.
Well, now that you bring that up, I think that would be a nice segue to one of the other things that I want to talk about, and that is, you know, what do we want to see out of the Jackets during this final stretch of the season? And I think what you said plays a part in it, is the decisions that Pascal is making. You know, I think I just think that I question a lot of his decisions, is basically what I'm saying.
So do I. Like, I'll be following games on when I'm out of town. I'm like, what is Coach doing?
Yes. My big thing, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree on this, but my big thing is how he is handling ice time. I don't agree. Well, all right, let me back up a little bit. All right, so what I think should be happening right now is, you know, they're professional athletes. They're a professional hockey team. They should be trying to win every game, okay? I do not agree with tanking. They need to be trying to win every game. But
will condone you for rooting for your team to lose. Because to me, that shows you're not in it for them. You're in it for your agenda.
Okay, so
like, I don't want to see fans rooting for their team to tank or to lose. It's
it's
not cool.
It is not cool at all. And here's what I want to see. Okay, so I want to see them trying their best to win every game, but I want to see Pascal using more of his entire lineup to do it. Like, give some of the inexperienced players the chance to try to win those games. Put them in the position to try to win. And if you don't win, oh well. You know, we're not making the playoffs.
It's not the end of the world. Like, let's experiment with what we have.
Yeah, and I just don't get it. And Aaron Portsline brought up a really good point, is that Boone Jenner keeps getting the most ice time. And I love Boone. And I admire him.
His biggest fans.
Yeah, but
during Cap City, he came around to the Autograph Alley, and he asked me asking if I renewed my season tickets because he knew I have season tickets. He's like, where are you sitting? Because he scored in front of me at the national game, and he turned and he saw me like jump up for him. And he was like, there she is. He's talking and texting about me. And I was like, oh, he's talking about me. I'm like, oh God.
Who are you? Who are you? You have this connection to all these players. I love it. I'm so jealous. Oh my goodness. But anyway, so with Boone, he's getting a lot of ice time, and historically he's had injuries. So with, you know, whatever we have left, 10 games left in the season, wouldn't this be a good time to cut back? Say it again.
I think it's 11.
It's 11? Okay. So wouldn't it make sense, and again, tell me if I'm wrong here, but wouldn't it make sense to cut back his ice time? Not a lot, but just a little. Like, I think he's at like 23 per game.
If there is a nagging injury, I don't want him to overpush it.
Yes.
Cause him to linger more.
And then, and give that those extra few minutes of ice time to another player. To a younger player.
Starting to limp, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, it looked like he was kind of starting to slow down. I'm like, oh no, like, that's not good.
I don't know. So that's my take on Pascal. I wish he would use his players differently. And I wish.
The number, for the love of God, bro. 27 is cursed.
It is awful, isn't it?
Not stay healthy, and I feel so bad. Like, that sucks.
And he's been playing, I thought at least, I think he's been playing pretty well.
I know, he's been really, like, drawing my eyes in a positive way towards him. For the first time in a long time, like, oh wait, he's actually really good when he's healthy.
Yeah, I would just, can't stay healthy. And it was the weirdest thing, too. It wasn't even like a, you know, a normal hit or something. He got crushed into a referee.
Oh, God.
He's
not the ACL.
Yeah. And then, who else?
Juan Nathan, the assistance program, which we've had no updates on him. Where is he?
Wait, which one? Who are you saying?
Juan A. We have not had an update on
him. No updates. Correct. Now, have you seen an update on Danforth? I thought he was just sick. I don't get it. Danforth is one of my favorite players, and he was out with an illness, was the last I heard, and then he just never came back.
That's what I heard too. And he hasn't been back since. I'm like, something's gotta give.
I don't know. It's the weirdest thing, but it just seems like that's par for the course now with the Blue Jackets. Got injuries and just weird things happening. So, along the same lines, and I want your opinion on this, because just something else I just don't get is, all right, if Pascal is trying to win every game, okay, and he's putting in the lineup that he thinks can win, but then you don't win, shouldn't you be trying to make some changes, like allowing someone like Malatesta or Juracek to enter the lineup?
Thank you. Yes, I've been advocating for Juracek because I love him.
I think the organization has not handled him well at all.
I've been not happy about it. I made it vocally clear. I'm not happy the way they're using him. Like, either you let him go down and play in the NHL and gain more experience, or you're sitting him for nothing.
Exactly. So I'm glad we're on the same page on that one.
I'm personally a big fan of Juracek. I love his two-way game. So I'm like, yeah, I'll see him get the chance to win.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, now with no playoffs in sight, I mean, you might as well give him and others the experience. Like, okay, Trey Fix-Wolanski. He's been up now for several games. And honestly, he hasn't made that much of a difference. No. So send him back down and let's see somebody else. Give someone else a cup of coffee in the NHL and see what they bring to the table.
At the my boyfriend at the Kosai area, and we were praising Trey right from his parents. Not realizing, like, it was them. And I was like, oh my goodness. These are my parents. Like, that's wild. It's a fire. We were just, like, casually walking on the concourse. Walking around, like, no security around them. I'm like, wait, this is weird.
See, I don't think I'd ever be able to pick out somebody's family, you know, maybe Fantilli's dad. I think I might recognize him.
Briefly, a couple of years ago, like me and my friend, I think it was Ian, met Zach's mom a couple of years ago. He was so sweet. It was so fast. Huh. Like, we were at the back table by the family and friends entrance. I know where that is because everyone has snuck me up there before. And, like, we were eating, I think, like, pizza or something, and, like, she came down, and she's like, hi, guys, we're in the game, like, how is everybody? I'm like, we're good, how are you? Like, enjoy the rest of the game, and, like, I didn't realize it was his mom, so, like, I saw Amy Jones' story at the time, I was like, oh, that was Zach's mom. I was like, oh, hello.
That's awesome. See, that's what I mean. You have all these cool stories. I don't have anything like that, so... All right, well, I would like to move on to our next little segment here, and I want to do, I wouldn't call it a game, but like an activity.
Okay.
I want to call it Locked or Unlocked, okay? So I want to give you some Blue Jackets players who I think next year are locks to be on the team. Okay, we have a new GM coming in, so we know there's going to be some changes.
Yeah.
But these are the players that I think are going to be locks. So I want to see if you disagree or agree or disagree. And then I'll also throw out some names after that of some players who I think are not locked. And then we can go from there. Okay? All right. So, all right, here are my list of locks. Okay, these are the players that I think... the new GM will not trade, will not get rid of. They will be on the team next year. Here I go. All right. Johnny Gaudreau.
Yes.
Adam Fantilli.
Yes.
Chinnikov.
Yeah, I can see what
you're saying. Okay. Voronkov.
Oh, I love Voronkov. I'm
a
big fan. I love him.
Me too. Marchenko.
Oh, I love Marchenko.
Sillinger. Really?
Honestly, I don't know. I just can't see it. Like, yes, does he on hot stretches at times? Yeah, and that's great when he does. But for the most part, he's ice cold with me.
Huh, that is interesting. I was not expecting you to say that. Okay. Jenner?
Yes.
Of course.
Captain.
And then my last one, and these are all forwards, by the way. I didn't go through the defenseman yet. My last forward, who I think is a lock to be on the team next year, is Corrali.
I love Corrali.
Yeah, he brings a veteran presence, and he has been on winning teams. So
I love the veteran experience that he brings and the perspective to the game that he brings. And I also love the way he plays the game. He plays a great two-way game and a 200-foot game that needs to be on the team.
Totally agree. And I think the Jackets would be silly if they moved on, if the new GM moved on from him. So, all right, so those are my locks. So now I'm going to go through my unlock. Now, just to be clear, this is not me saying I don't want them on the team. This is just me saying a new GM comes in, there's going to be changes. Who are players he would consider trading for the right price? Okay. So we have to kind of remove the personal feelings because
There's
some of these guys I don't want to leave. Like, I want them on the team. I just don't know what the new GM will think. So I'm going to start off with a big one, and the first one is Patrick Laine. What do you think?
I mean, he hasn't barely played this season. He can't stay healthy for the life of him.
So, but...
He's healthy. He is on fire and he's banging here we go.
So do you see him as a lock or someone the GM might consider trading? Okay. See, my feeling is the new GM is going to have to take a very hard look at how everybody fits into the lineup and their value to other teams. Like, can this new GM trade this player and get a better piece in return, or a piece that fits what he wants to build? And I just think Line A may be that type of player. He has a high contract, so another team might take a chance on him, and the new GM would use that cap space to get someone else.
We could say the same thing for Elvis, that $9.5 million. Who wants to take that?
Oh, trust me, we will get to Elvis. I have some feelings on Elvis I want to share with you, and we'll get to Elvis. All right, well, my next forward, what do you think about Kent Johnson?
I love Kent. When he's playing, he plays really well. He draws my eye positively.
See, I think he has a ton of potential. And
he just needs to be coached the right way.
Yes, I agree with that as well. So, but I'm thinking, again, you know, a new GM comes in, he might think, well, I think, you know, we're going to get something, you know, we're going to trade Kent Johnson, get an excellent piece for what we're building, and because he has so much potential, we're going to get some high value in return. Now, again, I'm saying, again, I don't want that to happen. I could just see that happening as a possibility. Yeah. All right, next person then. As an unlocked candidate, Alex Texier. So you think he is going to be on the team next year for sure, locked?
I think so. I think he's my lock.
Okay. This next one hurts me to say because, again, he's one of my favorite players, Justin Danforth.
Ooh, yeah. He just has not drawn my eye positively this season.
See, I appreciate his – he gives 110% every night.
He does. But –
yeah, but here's my thinking on this one. I'm really worried about the Blue Jackets' size. You have Gaudreau. Say it again, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. And so you have Gaudreau, who's like 5'10 or something. Johnson is taller, but he's kind of a thinner guy. And then you have, look at everybody else in or look at the other shorter players in our organization besides Danforth. You have Malatesta coming up. You have Trey Fix-Wilhansky. I have trouble saying his name. And you have Gavin Brindley, who are all undersized forwards. So it just makes me think a new GM might want to get some size, and Danforth would be a prime candidate to trade.
I mean, yeah, Danforth really has not gotten my attention positively this season. I've hardly noticed him.
Yeah, he had his stretches, but yeah, he kind of fell off a little bit. So I got two more forwards for you. Matthew Olivier.
Oh, you cannot trade that man. No.
See, again, that's how I feel. I want him back. I've actually gained more and more respect for him lately. I want him back on this team. I just don't know if the new GM will keep him.
Around, like, he's there to answer. He's what we need.
Absolutely. And like I said, I want him back. I just don't know if he's a lock. I worry that the new GM will trade him for, you know, a similar player. So, all right, my last one.
Right.
Alex Nylander. So do you see him, what we're seeing right now, do you see it as kind of a flash in the pan, or do you see it as we gave this guy a change of scenery, we have given him confidence, and he has embraced that, and we're going to see continued success for him?
I think it's going to continue success. I think the change of scenery was overdue, and
I love your optimism. I love it. I wish I could agree, though. I wish. I'm hoping, but I look back at how many times have the Jackets traded for somebody like this and it has panned out. And the only one I can think of is Sam Gagner.
I actually met Gagner.
I'm not surprised. You have all these stories. I love it. Oh man, we're good. I'm really anxious, really eager to hear about your Yarmo stories here, but we've got a few more things to talk about, okay? So I'm just gonna kind of group everybody together for this next one. Just thinking about the defensemen, who do you think are the locks to be here next year? And then who do you think the new GM might trade?
I think Zach is a lock.
Agreed.
I love the game he's played this season. I think he's been a great player, great defenseman. I cannot say enough good things about him.
Totally agree. Others? Any other locks that come to mind that will definitely be here next year?
I think Branson's definitely earned my respect.
Agree again. He is. I was kind of on the fence about him before the start of the season, but I'm sold on him. I think he...
Absolutely. I've really grown to love him.
Agreed. Yeah. And then Severson, I think we're, for better or worse, I mean, with his contract, he will be here next year.
Oh, absolutely. I love the style of his game.
And then I'll tell you my other lock for next year is Juracek. He will be on the team next year. So that's four defensemen right there. So my unlocked, who I think a GM coming in may decide to trade, is Provorov, Boqvist, and Bean.
Ooh, Bean I can see, okay.
He's a restricted free agent, so we'll have to see how that plans out. Boqvist, like we've talked about, he's played well this year. He just can't stay healthy. Yeah, and then with Provorov, again, you know, he's got a year left on his contract. I'm thinking, depending on, you know, what the new GM wants to do, I think he might be a candidate to move out. All right. Final topic, I guess, is goaltenders. And I'm just going to put it out bluntly. What I see happening is Tarasov is staying, and Merzlikins is going.
Oh, I said it time and time again to Kyle. You can ask him. How many times have I said it that it's going to be time for Elvis to go?
Yeah, and I don't know. Do you ever listen to Aaron Portsline's podcasts?
I do. I've met Portsline through my old high school's journalism program.
Cool. Well, I listened to his podcast, and in his last episode, he made it seem like it was a foregone conclusion. Like Elvis is as good as gone. So, you know, I put a lot of stock in what he says.
Like, I try to be empathetic towards him because of the accident, but it's been time to put up or shut up for a while.
Yeah. And
not made me eat crow.
That's true. Right.
Very, very hard on him, and he knows this. I told him last summer, like, I'm rooting for you. Prove me wrong.
And he hasn't.
Like, I told him I was rooting for him, like, good luck this season. Because some fans in the line at the draft party were being very, really harsh towards him in person.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I heard nasty stuff said in front of me. And I was like,
that's horrible.
I know. I was like, back off. I was like, good guy. Is this a guy who just lost his best friend? Like, back off.
Yeah, that's not right. That's, yeah.
So I call him, like, good luck. I'm rooting for you. Like, you know, have a great season.
And the thing is, I would say that as a whole, our fan base, the Blue Jackets fan base, is a very good one. Like, nice people, great fans. But no matter what fan base you look at, you're always going to have some bad apples. And unfortunately, I think maybe that's what you saw.
This season, fan behavior has crossed such a personal line that I think we need to learn.
Do you think it's a product of just frustration?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I get the frustration. I do. Someone's been here for 16, going on 17 years. Like, I'm frustrated, yes. But don't be taking it out on the players. Like, they see and hear more than you guys think they do online.
And just be civil, you know? Just be respectful. And I just don't. That drives me nuts.
Very, very verbally harsh towards the guys in person at events this season where I'm like, back off.
And that's just not right. But I will also say, though, that I think winning will take care of a lot of that. Once
okay,
the
team this season, a lot of people show their true colors.
Especially
when your army got fired, a lot of you who know me and know my relationship with Yarmo are celebrating all over my Twitter timeline.
Well,
me, where you knew I could see it.
Yeah. You had mentioned Kyle and the artillery. And I want to bring up something he said. I hope he doesn't mind something that was mentioned on the artillery podcast. But concerning Elvis, I thought, and I forget who it was on that podcast, but I think they had a very interesting suggestion regarding Elvis. They said, what if we packaged Elvis and our number one pick as part of a trade? And the idea, the idea was that we already have a pretty stocked prospect pool. You know, everybody, all the higher ups, all the websites that do the rankings, they all rank us, every one of them, in the top three. So what we really need now is solid veteran presence and cap space. So why not trade our number one pick to a team that really wants the pick? And it's like, but if you really want it, you have to take Elvis and his terrible contract off our hands. Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I just thought that was a fantastic idea, and I was like, wow, I want to talk about that on our podcast.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I think that might be the way to go, and I kudos to that podcast for suggesting that. So.
And the way they go about it is super, like, respectful. They don't shove it down people's throats.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do shove like Elvis trades down your throat, want him gone, target him.
No, I think that was a great idea. The only other option is if it's not a trade, it would have to be a buyout. And that kind of bothers me. That's a lot of money to be paying a player to not play for you. So I'm hoping that whoever this new GM is, he or she is just a mastermind and can work out something where not only can we get Elvis off the team, but we also don't end up paying for him.
Yeah, because we don't need to be paying for that contract.
Excuse me. All right, well, Madigan, those are kind of the main things that I wanted to talk about. Do you have any other... Before we get to your story, I'm very interested in hearing. Do you have any other topics you wanted to throw out there today?
Not really.
Yeah, we're just kind of limping toward the finish. Like I said, we're just trying to finish out this year. We don't have a whole lot of newsworthy topics. I'm still hoping that we see Fantilli one more time, but I totally understand if they don't want to rush him back. And that's pretty much it in terms of news of the Jackets right now. Sorry, still trying to get over this cough. Okay, so we've teased it. You've teased it. You said you've got some great Yarmo stories. So I was hoping you wouldn't mind telling one of your favorites.
No, me. I'm Madigan. I was Yarmo's neighbor for the first few years that he was here in Columbus, from the time I was 10 to the time I was 15. You can imagine I've had some pretty funny moments with him.
I can't imagine having the GM of your favorite hockey team living right next door to you. That's incredible.
Like, like he would come over and hear us at the door, and you knew it was him. I'd come running down the stairs and be like, "No, it's for me."
Are you kidding me?
Like, he would knock on the door, and it'd be like something autographed every time. And I'm like, "Is that for me?" Like, move.
That is, oh my gosh, that's like a fan's dream come true.
Like, I watched a game with him once in his basement.
Oh, are you serious? Like a Blue Jackets game?
Yes, against the Minnesota Wild years ago.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. He must have had, like, just amazing insights.
He had, like, a full spread of all his, like, information and all of the GM stuff, and he had a notebook of, like, players' names sitting right in front of me, and I'm like, do I take a picture of this? Like, do I not? Like, what do I do?
What would happen, like, well, first of all, did the Blue Jackets win that game?
I don't remember. It's been also so blocked out of my memory for so long. I'm like, oh my god.
Well, how did he react, like, when the Jackets got scored on? Like, what would he do?
He would not look very happy. And when he's scary, when he gets mad, it's very, very scary.
I wonder, I'm sure there are not many people out there who can say, like, not many fans who can say that they have watched a game with their teams, with their favorite team's GM. That is incredible.
I got to, and he would tell me to hush every now and again. He told me to hush, and I try to get my input, and I'm like, okay, Yermo, let me help out. I know what I'm talking about. Like, I watch the team too, bud.
That's something. So is that, do you consider that one of your stories, or is there something, like, is there another type of story that you could share with us?
Ooh, I have one when I was 15, we're at, like, this barricade for meet and greet, and DaVinci tried to make a beeline for the door, and Yarmo was, like, went and got him, was like, dude, get over here right now. I got someone you need to meet. I'm like, Yarmo, it's okay. Like, he has nothing to eat today. Like, it's fine. Like, he was trying to calm me down. I'm like, Yarmo, like, it's okay. It's fine. Like, it's fine.
Holy cow. That's.
I got a whole team hat for my birthday from, like, all the old players. Some are still here.
That's just.
Are my only leftovers in this hat. Damn. Everyone else is gone.
I can't believe that he was just your next door neighbor. That just blows my mind.
I have old photos of me from the time I was on his Twitter because I did the diabetes walk with him and his daughter years ago. I have old photos of me on his Twitter from those days.
Gosh, did you ever just, like, I don't know, like, walk outside and he'd just be kind of, like, lounging on his patio or whatever?
Yeah, I hung out with his daughters actually a few times throughout the years, too.
Oh, gosh, that is just so cool.
I got to know, like, his wife, Tina, who is such a sweetheart, by the way. Oh, my God. Tina, I love you.
I would think it would be, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes here, and I would think, I would probably have a hard time living next door to my favorite team's GM. I probably wouldn't be able to keep my mouth shut about things, you know.
Always talking hockey. Like, if anyone's ever around us, we are always talking hockey and just shooting our shit.
Did he ever, I don't know, I know it's not, I mean, he's the pro, you know, he's the paid professional GM, but did he ever, like, ask you, like, what you thought of players or anything?
Sometimes, yeah, actually.
Oh my gosh.
My sister's graduation party, 2018, he asked me how I would feel about a Nick Foligno contract extension or to trade him, and I was like, if you lose Nick, you lose me.
That is amazing. See, that's just so cool. I don't know what I'd do.
It was perfectly clear that day of, like, if you trade Nick, you lose my friendship.
Now, and when they
did it anyways, a few years later, he stabbed me in the back of trading Nick to Toronto, and he knew that was the end of it right then. I was like, nope.
Was he living, was he your neighbor at the time of that happening?
No. He had moved, and then I moved.
So, I'm assuming the day he moved, that was a pretty rough day.
Yeah, I cried for a while.
Did he, like, say goodbye and stuff?
He did. Like, the first time, like, I remember when they moved in, the day they moved here, he came over because I was hanging outside with my sister playing basketball, and he came over. He's like, "Hi, I'm Yarmo. It's my wife, Tina." He just casually introduced himself, like, super chill.
So, all right, so when he moved in, I'd like were you, how old were you? Let me ask you that, if you don't mind me asking. You were how old?
10.
Oh, and were you, I mean, I know that's young, but were you a fan at that time of the Jackets?
I was. That was, like, my second year as a fan.
Okay, so when he introduced himself, did you, like, realize who he was?
Like, I watched a press conference, so, like I knew, like, what he looked like, but I didn't really, like, know his name. So, like, he introduced himself, I was like, "Oh, that's who that is." Like, oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and I just cannot imagine if someone moved in next door to me and it was the general manager of my favorite hockey team. That's
one of my birthdays. He brought me to a game with his family, and, like, security tried to yell at me because he was bringing it up to the family in front suite where, like, the players and families stay up there. He's like, "What is she doing up here? Like, she's not supposed to be up here." And everyone flashes badge and, like, she's with me, like, "Back off, like, I have her."
Oh my gosh. I would think they wouldn't need him to flash a badge. He's Yarmo, for goodness sake.
No, yeah. They actually, like, require you to have, like, some sort of security clearance on them to get up there.
Wow, that is something. Oh,
I think it was Nusi's wife. Horton's wife was up there too at the time, which was so funny. Those were my favorite players at the time. I met them through Yarmo. So their wives, like, instantly would recognize me at the time. And I met James 4 or 5 times each.
Okay.
My name.
Man.
It's so funny, like, the players start recognizing you because they know you're with Yarmo. They're like, "Oh, that's, like, oh, hey, you." I'm like, "Hi."
Man, I have to ask, you realize how lucky you are, right?
Sometimes, yeah, like, I start to think to myself, like, I had what every fan wants.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Like, child, like, I was blessed beyond belief that was me. It happened to me, of all people.
Like, well,
I ask myself all the time, like, why me? Like, why was I his neighbor? Like, any other fan could have that experience.
Well, following you on Twitter, like, I knew you were, you know, you had good connections, but wow, I had no idea that you were that connected. That's amazing. I am so impressed right now.
He also helped my older sister recently get a job with Florida Everblades, which is an AHL team for the Panthers. He sent her recommendation letter to them to help her get hired by them.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Also, for my 20th birthday, he was texting my mom, like, where is she sitting, who is she with, what is she wearing? Because he sent down, like, a custom gift bag with a team-signed jersey, a polo, stickers, a poppet. I was like, "What the hell?" Yamo, you wouldn't tell on me, man. It was over, like, $200 and stuff. I'm like, "Jesus Christ."
Oh, that's awesome.
This. I'm like, "Fans about to hate me."
So, I have a great idea. For you, I think the next time you talk to him, you should be like, "Hey, there's this guy, you know, he does this podcast, and you should definitely email him and say hi to him."
The amount of times I've actually had people ask me for favors when, like, someone would tell him I know Yarmo, I have so many people ask me for favors.
Oh, I bet. I'm only kidding. I wouldn't expect that, but that's really cool.
I could try again this year, but no promises.
Well, man, I will say it again. I'm very impressed, and I'm very happy that you were willing to excuse me share some of that with us. We are.
Me and my sister Zach loves the Sochi Olympics years ago, and unfortunately lost those.
Aww.
I know, I'm so mad. I'm like, I wish I would have kept those. Those are like prized possessions.
Oh my goodness. Well, like,
that's like meet and greets and stuff for me as a player. Is like some of them are starting to like know my name. This is Yarmo. So I'm like,
see, that's so cool. I can't imagine just kind of having, you know, be on a first name basis with an NHL player. I mean, that's just incredible.
Nick Foligno, Kim Atkinson, Sam Gagne, Bobrovsky, Dubinsky, Wisniewski, Horton, Hartnell, Tavard.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
A few other guys that, of course, may know me. There's a couple more that I know I met through him. I think I met Omer through him, though. That was a different movie.
Oh, color me jealous. Like I said, I'm sitting over here.
That's who it is, Cam. Oh, I miss Cam so much.
I was able to say hi to him once. My son got to do one of those games in between periods with his youth hockey team. And Cam was injured at the time. And I remembered walking by him and David Savard. And I said hi to him and mentioned that my son was also named Cam. And so he's like, oh, hi, Cam. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, they seem like great guys, too.
I reunited with Cam at Cap City, and I showed him, like, my old meet and greet photos with them. He's like, I remember you. You've grown up on me. He's like, how old were you? I was like, I was 14 at the time. He's like, how old are you now? I'm like, 21. He's like, oh, my God, it's been that long? I'm like, 8 years, bud, yeah.
I hope that, all right, there's two people who I would really like to see come back to the organization once their playing career is over, and one is Cam Atkinson, and the other is Nick Foligno. Like, I really hope they come back.
100% I will advocate for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's as a coach or as a just, you know, an employee of the team in some way, I would love to see them come back.
I'm so happy Rick came back. Oh my God, that was a big one for me. When Rick came back, I was beyond belief happy.
I was indifferent about that. Like, I was
my first favorite player ever, so I was thrilled to be there for his jersey retirement. That meant the world to me to be there.
I was a fan of his, and then when he left, kind of the way he left, just left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth towards him. Yeah. So I was just indifferent on him coming back.
Ever I met Jack Johnson, I had asked him, like, are you enjoying your time here in Columbus? Like, how is everyone treating you? Like, has it been great being here? He's like, yeah, I'm enjoying my time in Columbus. And when he left for Pittsburgh, he's like, I'm so glad to be out of Columbus.
Oh, that's just not right. Shame on him.
Why the 14-year-old me? Like, me and him, luckily, like, we saw each other at Cap City, we talked things out, he apologized, like, I'm so sorry for the way that came across, like, I did not mean it that way.
Oh, wow.
Like, they just phrased it really weird, like, I did not mean it in that context towards any of you guys. Like, I appreciate that he said something. He was like, he went out of his way to, like, pull me aside, like, I am so sorry, you remember me, which is nice.
Well, that brings me to one more point here, because we're coming up on an hour here, and I try to keep podcasts, you know, relatively short, we'll say. But one of my previous guests actually suggested this, Mark. He said he had a suggestion that one day we should just do a podcast where I don't have any plan or notes. We just get on a bunch of Jackets fans, and we just get on and just talk about the Blue Jackets.
Oh my God, I would love to share my stories with other fans. Like,
well, I was going to say, I think you'd be perfect for if we have that kind of episode. I think you'd be perfect.
Absolutely, I'd be so down.
Well, I will definitely keep you in mind for that. And with that, I think we're going to wrap things up for today. So before I go, Madigan, any other closing thoughts before we pack up?
Follow me on Twitter at O'Brien Madigan, Instagram at Madigan O'Brien, TikTok, same thing, Red, same name. But what a season it's been. I've met so many of you, Jeffrey, Jack, Kyle, Jordan, Warren, you, and Sarah and Ellie and Dave and all those guys, Jason and, you know, Amanda and Shiloh and all you guys. Like, I love you guys so much. Emily, Ryland, my soul twins, this fandom. I love you guys all so much. You know, it's been a season so special for me. Thank you for everyone who's been so kind to my boyfriend, bringing him in such open arms and so supportive of us. It means the world to us. So thank you so much.
And I hope to meet some of you guys too someday. I don't get to many Jackets games in person. It's just a travel thing and a cost thing. So, you know, it's a little less than an hour and a half for me to get over there, and it is costly. But I do hope to start making it over to some more games next season. And when I do, now that I've established this podcast and have connected with some of you, I'm hoping that I can see some of you in person someday. So.
So Notori, Riley, Lindsay, and the girls, and Caitlin and Eli, I love you guys so much. I'm so glad I met you guys this season and reunited with all of you guys. Thank you to everyone for the season, what it's been, despite y'all nice product. You guys have been such incredible souls. And yeah, I know all this can be very dysfunctional, but I would not change the second family for the world.
Now, if I listed off names, I would have like two people, so I won't. Instead, I will just say, Madigan, thank you so much for joining us today. And she gave her social media information. I will give mine. I'm at Whaler Jacket. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at that name. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us talk today about the Jackets. If you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, or if you would like to be a guest sometime, I'm always looking for new guests, new people to talk to. Hit me up on Twitter or send me an email, and we'll make that happen sometime.
Danny, before the episode ends, Danny, I love you. You are literally one of my best friends as fan base, one of my soul twins. But thank you so much for having me. What a special episode it was.
What's that about? Say that again.
What a special episode it's been.
I agree.
Great. You get to share for the first time was
and
cool.
and please understand, like I'm still, I mean, this is episode 16, but I still consider myself a rookie with this whole podcast thing. I'm still learning as we go. So I appreciate you coming on and giving it a shot. So
thank you for having me. This has been great.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. And we'll see everybody later. Hope you guys will tune in next time I do this. I'll try to do this again next week. Thanks for joining us, and go Jackets.
Absolutely, go Jackets.